For those who missed it last night, we had a great talk here. Rabbi Kerry Friedman discussed. Interesting, because there's a problem today in law enforcement, and the problem is what's good is coming down is the murder rate of policemen, since they have this new vest, the bulletproof vest, and they have new techniques. What's interesting is most policemen are killed when they go to routine calls for family abuse,
domestic violence.
That's where most policemen are killed. Or traffic stops, second level is the traffic stops. Anyway, so the good news is there are less policemen being killed in America because of better techniques and better bulletproof vests. The bad news is a growing rate of suicides. So the police force investigate, the FBI, they try to investigate what is causing this great increase in suicide, and the answer they came to is interesting, is there's a spiritual void in the policeman's life. So they got all their ministers and priests together and tried to come up with some form of a 4-hour course to boost spirituality in the police, and they couldn't find anything. They found 4 minutes. So they had to hire a rabbi to come. And there's a rabbi who spoke yesterday. Excellent talk. So basically what he does, he wrote a book, How to Increase the Spirituality of the Police. And he used the Torah. And he talks about mitzvot and other things. Interesting. Small little book. And what does he say? Three things. And these are interesting. Two or three we're going to talk about today. Three things which increase spirituality. Number one is faith in God. Obvious. Faith in God. If we need a boost in our spirituality, the number one is we have to increase our emunah. A person has to increase their emunah. Everything is from Hashem. Hashem has tremendous resources. We have to tap into Hashem's resources. That's number one. Number two, faith in humanity. Faith in humanity is that humanity are not totally God. They're not all bad. Not everything is back. And that's what policemen see when they deal with all these troubles. They see the bad face of humanity. They see the dark side of humanity. And then they give up on humanity and they kill themselves. And the third thing is faith in oneself. A person has to have faith in oneself, which we talked about, self-esteem. And we actually talked about this yesterday, last week. We talked about the Maharal and the image of the Magen David, right? Remember that? We said the triangle of the Magen David. Maharal says, inner, outer, upward. Inner, outer, upward. Inner is oneself. How do we measure ourselves? We said by the light of the Torah. The world stands on three things. Torah, Avodah, Gemilut Hasadim. Torah is measuring oneself. How do we measure ourselves? By the light of the Torah. The Torah says do this and don't do this. How am I measuring up to that standard? Torah is measuring oneself. How does one measure oneself? How does one know whether they're doing the right thing or not? It is by the light of the Torah. Avodah is serving God, which is God, faith in God. And number three is Gemilut Hasadim, which is reaching out to other people. So interesting. So I wrote a whole book and a 4-hour course for policemen to rejuvenate their faith, their spirituality, is these three things. Faith in God, faith in mankind, and faith in oneself. Three things, three areas. Exactly what we're going to talk about today. We're on page 32.
Did he give the course and did it work?
Not only did he give the course, he's hired. The FBI hired him. He's a top instructor. He gives the top courses.
And the name of the book is How to
Spiritual Survival for Law Enforcement. Okay, so anyway, so it's the Talmud says, and this we're in page 32. Habakkuk. Habakkuk is one of the lesser known prophets, smaller prophets. Habakkuk sums up the whole Torah on one foot. And he says, the last line, Habakkuk, with Sadiq Memunoto Yihyeh. A tzaddik will live through his faith. Tzaddik b'emunato yichyeh, he will live through his faith. Exactly what he's talking about. Faith means complete, unquestioning faith in God. Now, it's interesting because when the Rambam wrote his Moreh Nevuchim and the Sefer HaMitzvot, they were written in Arabic. He wrote it for the masses. The masses those days spoke Arabic. Spain was under the Muslims. People don't realize Spain was under the Muslims. And that's the big gripe. And Islam today, they want to get Spain back. You know, Europe was nearly conquered by the Islam. So according to them, Spain is occupied territory, just like Israel is occupied territory for them. It's a mitzvah to go and redeem Muslim land. So Spain was under the... In fact, the Rambam ran away from Muslims. He didn't run away from Christians, he ran away from Muslims. It was pre the Christian conquest of Spain. And sometimes the Muslims would alternate between extremism and moderation. When they were moderate, they were fine. And they were advanced in science and humanities, everything. Philosophy. And the Jews thrived. When they became extreme, they tried to convert Jews to Islam. And that's when the Rambam had to run away from Spain. So he ran to, eventually, it's a long story, he went to Morocco, he went to Israel, and then he eventually ends up in Egypt. Under a moderate ruler, becomes the doctor to the Sultan, and very well respected. Anyway, he wrote most of his books in Arabic. And the trouble is the translation. So when he writes in Arabic, he says, the first mitzvah of the 613 is to believe in God. But the modern translation has changed it. He says it's a mistake in the translation. It's not belief in God, it's to know God. And to know there is a God. There's a big difference between belief in God and knowing God. Belief means I believe. Are you 100% sure? I believe. Knowing means there's no doubt. There's no element of doubt. I don't believe I know. I know there's a God. And that's really, so really faith is not really faith. Faith is knowledge. The highest level of faith is knowledge. We have to get to the level where we know there's a God. There's no confusion. There's no questioning. I know there's a God. So a righteous person knows there's a God. One who trusts a friend regarding almost everything cannot really be said to have full confidence in that friend. I trust him. Would you trust him completely? No, almost. Almost everything. A person trusts himself because he takes it upon himself to evaluate what his friend says and does. Of course, the friend means well. But if the friend says something they cannot accept, something unreasonable, something that will cause them inconvenience, or a serious loss of money, will he still have faith, or will he question his friend's judgments, or his friend's loyalty? So sometimes in life, Hashem doesn't treat us so nicely. Look at Yaakov. Hashem promised him, I will protect you, Hashem says. Wherever you go, I will protect you. And yet, he gets to Lavan, he gets tricked. Yeah, where's Hashem's protection? He didn't ask questions. Yaakov does not ask questions. You know, that's one of the great things of the Avot. The forefathers never questioned God. Hashem says, I'm going to give you the land of Canaan, Abraham Avinu. You're going to have many children like the stars in the sky and the sand by the sea. And Abraham Avinu barely has a child. He can't have a children for many years. He never questioned God. Only when God says, I'm going to give you the land of Israel, he says, how will I know? Then he questioned God, and God says, your children will be slaves in a foreign land for 400 years. And that was a rebuke for Abraham Avinu for questioning. So pure faith is no questions. The person says, you know, whatever happens, gamzula tova, whatever God does is for the best. That's pure faith. Faith is not questioning. Once the person questions already, that's not a sign of faith. He didn't question. He was arguing.
Because
nothing happened. Nothing happened yet. Hashem says, I will destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay. So Abraham says, will you also destroy the righteous as well? That's not fair. He didn't question after the fact. He questioned before.
But aren't you allowed to pray.
In other words, you're allowed to pray to alter decrees. That's something which you're not questioning. But once the decree is done, you can't question it.
Someone said you're supposed to question, but don't.
You can question anything you want, but a person with true emunah will never. God knows what he's doing. A person with emunah will say, God knows what he's doing. You want to question. But it's not 100% emunah. Pure emunah says, I don't question. I don't question God. I question man. If it's man made, I question man's emunah. But I don't question God's knowledge. God knows what he's doing. But are we allowed to argue? Yes, we're allowed to argue. That's what we pray. We pray to change decrees. We ask God to take into consideration other things. A good defense attorney will know how to argue. We all of us have to learn how to argue with God. And how do we do that? Just read this text of how Abraham Avinu argues with Hashem. Great defense attorney. I'd like to have him on my side. Abraham Avinu knew how to present his case. It's not right. It's not fair. He's appealing to God's sense of fairness. God has a sense of fairness. We have to appeal to God's sense of fairness. It's not right, Hashem. Give me another chance. Give me another break. I'll do better next time. That's what Hashem wants to hear. So, but once it's done, it's done. We don't ask questions. Baruch Dayan Haemet. We don't ask questions. We just say a bracha. It's interesting. The Jewish response to tragedy is say a bracha. A person's going to say a bracha. This is the hardest Gemara to understand. The Gemara says a brachot. We say a bracha on bad, just like you say a bracha on good. So the same way a person would say a bracha on eating an apple, that's the same way a person would say a bracha on bad news. Why? How do you do that? Hard to fathom. But that's the answer. The answer is a person with perfect faith does not question God's decree after it's done. Before it's done, you can argue. Where do we see this? The Gemara says, David HaMelech. David HaMelech is in Tanakh. David HaMelech has a first son from Bathsheba. So because of what he did with Bathsheba, the first son is very sick. And he's crying, and he's praying, and he's fasting. And the son dies. But his servants don't want to tell him the son died. Because look what he's doing. The son is sick, and he's crying, and he's praying, and he's fasting, and he's going crazy. If you tell him he dies, what will he do? He'll go out of his mind. But they were talking to amongst themselves, and he looks up and he says, what's going on? So they had to tell him, your son, king, your beloved son died. So he says, he got up, he took a shower, started eating. So we don't understand. When he was sick, you were going out of your mind. Now he's dead, you went back to normal. He said, before he was dead, I was praying to God, change the decree. Once he's dead, there's nothing I can do except God's decree. And that's how we move on. That's how Jews move on. Before there's a decree, before it's ended, the story's over, we pray, and we argue, and we fight, and we discuss. But once it's done, there's nothing to talk about. You have to move on with our lives. Accept God's decree and move on. So that's Emunah. Emunah is accept and move on. And that's how a person keeps on going. That's Lech Lecha. Lech Lecha is the Jew. The first mitzvah given to Abraham Avinu was Lech Lecha. Move on with your life. Move on. Accept the decree and move on. And this way, that's a healthy way of progressing in life. Is you can't change once it's done. You can't. What's the phrase in English? You don't cry over spilt milk. Just make sure it doesn't spill. So while there's life, there's hope. Once it's over, it's over. The story's over. That's it. You have to accept it. A person's got to accept it. That's Emunah. Emunah is accept and move on. The person with less Emunah, we can ask questions. Okay, you want to ask questions? Ask questions. But the truth is, we don't know answers. There are many questions with no answers, and that's where Emunah comes in. Emunah is, I don't ask questions. Maybe, you know, when I get to over 120, when I get to the next world, Hashem will tell me the answers, then I'll understand everything. Right now, it's hard to understand. We only see a clip of the whole movie. That's our problem. We only see a clip of the whole movie. We see a little bit of life. In Jewish history, it's 5,774 years. We only see 5,774 years. We don't see the rest of it. So Hashem sees everything. And Hashem's world is infinite and limitless. So we have to have Emunah. And Emunah is not just faith. Emunah is knowledge. We have to know God. And that's the hardest part. That's all our lives. That's through all our experiences. That's why we say, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Why do we say God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob? And the answer is each one of them had a different perspective. Through their lives, through their history, through what happened to them, through their communication with God. So we communicate with God, we pray to God all the time, and that helps us to understand what's going on. So we know Hashem wants what's good for us. That's what Gamzu L'Tova means. Hashem wants our best. And sometimes to get to the best, a person has to go through trials and tribulations and purification process until we get to the best we can be. Okay. So that is Habakkuk, distilled the Torah into one fundamental faith. A tzaddik lives through their faith. When someone has that degree of faith, then no mitzvah is too hard. A person needs faith to have this ability. A person says, you know, why did God say, do this? Why can't I do this? Why can't I do this? Why can't I do this? Okay, so don't do anything. The person with faith will say, what can I do next? Hashem says, I believe in God. What does God want from me? Whatever he says, I'll do. That's the person with faith. Whatever God says, I will do. So no mitzvah is too difficult to perform. That's why this is such a big fundamental. Faith in God is a big fundamental. You know, there's a whole big discussion between the Rambam and the Baal Halachot Gedolot. Is there a mitzvah to believe in God or not? Rambam says, it's the first mitzvah. It's the first of the Ten Commandments. I am the Lord your God who took you out of the land of Egypt. What do you mean, I'm the Lord your God? God is telling us to believe in him. Why do we believe in God? Because we experienced it ourselves. We don't believe in God because he created the world, because we weren't around. I didn't know he created the world. I didn't see it. But we did experience coming out of Egypt. All of us experienced it, or our forefathers did. But we have to relive it every year, right? As if I myself came out of Egypt. So last Pesach, I came out of Egypt. We experienced it ourselves. We re-experience it every year. We have to re-experience it as if me myself came out of Egypt. Unfortunately, we're still in the Egypt of today. All of us are still in Egypt here. This is Egypt. This is our Egypt. We don't have Paro, but we have Egypt over here. You know, the same, similar test of coming out of Egypt. But that's how we know there's a God, because we experienced it. The ten plagues, the manna in the desert, coming into Israel, we experienced it. So we experienced God. That's how Rambam says, that's the mitzvah of believing God. It's belief based on knowledge. It's belief because we all saw at Har Sinai God talk to us. Amazing. No other nation in the world witnessed. There's no other religion in the world based on mass revelation. And that's what we have to prepare for. When Mashiach comes, we don't realize there's going to be mass revelation. We have to prepare for mass revelation, which means we all become prophets to a certain extent. All of us will become prophets. And that's what happened at the Red Sea. It says the maid at the Red Sea saw more than the prophet Ezekiel. It means mass revelation. We have to prepare ourselves, otherwise we'll go out of our minds. If we're not ready for mass revelation, we're going to go crazy. All of a sudden, we'll hear voices, we'll see things. And mass revelation. Okay, so that's the basis of our faith is based on not just faith in God, but knowledge of God. Why? Because we saw, Rambam says, it's not based on miracles. It's based on the reality of the situation. We saw God. We saw, as much as a human being can see God, we saw God. Mass revelation. So Christianity is based on 13 apostles saw JC wake up. I don't know what, that's what they say. And Islam is based on Muhammad and his donkey had a revelation. Based on one person's revelation. Judaism is based on mass revelation. 600,000 men, between 20 and 60. 600,000 women at least. The women and the children and the over 60s, 3 million people saw God. 3 million people at least. That's the base of our faith. That's what Rambam says. Our faith is based on knowledge. So therefore we have to get to that level of knowledge where we see this. We saw this. God has no image. How do you see God? You can't see God. God is infinite. How do you see infinite? How do you see infinity? But you get a little glimpse of it. And that glimpse is enough to blow a person's mind. That glimpse of infinity is enough to blow a person's mind. Obviously, it's impossible to see God. There is no image. So what do we use today to see God? How can you see God? And the answer is right up there. Yud Kei Vav Kei. You look at God's name, that's as far as we can get. That's the gateway to Hashem. God's name is the gateway to Hashem. And that's as far as a human being can go. A person wants to imagine God, all he can do is imagine God's name. And the truth is God has no name. Because it's impossible to... A name already defines as a definition. That's why we're not allowed to add names to God's names. We can't praise God more than Moses praised God. Because by praising and by naming, we're limiting. So we only say the name because that's what God gave us. God said, Moshe Rabbeinu asked God, who are you? And Hashem said, I will be what I will be. He said, okay. What will I tell the Jewish people? Who will I say sent me? Ekiyeh shalachani. Ekiyeh sent me. No. So he keeps on arguing till Hashem says, okay. Zeh shemi le'olav, zeh zechi le'dodo. This is my name forever, and this is my remembrance. Okay, so there's a name given over there. That's the name given over here. The trouble is, we're not allowed to say this name. So even the name of God, you can't even say the name. You have to say Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which is my master. We refer to God as our master. That's it. That's as close as we can get speech-wise, and with sight-wise is a bit higher. But the truth is, even the name doesn't encapsulate God. You can't see God. It's impossible to see God. The second mitzvah is there's no other gods. The third mitzvah is don't make any graven images. There's no image of God. You can't make an image of God. It's impossible. Once you make images, you limit Hashem. There's no limiting Hashem. There's not allowed to limit Hashem. Hashem is limitless. Truly, if you see the pictures of this universe, the universe is so massive. There's trillions and trillions of stars, and they expand. The universe is still expanding. It's very hard to imagine. Just the size of the Milky Way. The nearest star is 4 light years away. Do you know what light year is? A light year is the time it takes for light to travel in a year. And light travels at the speed of 186,000 miles a second. How far does light travel in a year? The nearest star is 4 years away for the light to get to here. It's hard to imagine. That's how many miles away. It's hard to get there. So just think of the size of the universe. Hashem is just infinite. Hashem just made the universe. It didn't take him long to make it. So Hashem is infinite. The power of Hashem is infinite. We must not forget the power of Hashem. Look at Israel today. Little puny Israel. Puny little country. Puny nothing. It's a miracle. Why is Israel... All of a sudden, Israel is more powerful than most of the big nations. Israel has a bigger air force than England and France combined. It's hard to imagine. Puny Israel. There's no way. This is a miracle. This is a miracle. After the Holocaust. Who would know? It's a miracle. It's a miracle. Listen, we're living in a miracle times. And when America wants to make a deal with Iran, they have to look at Israel for agreement.
But what's going on now?
It's a miracle. No, they're listening. Don't worry. They're listening very carefully. They're listening very carefully. It's a miracle. It's really, we're living in a miracle. And we're going to have mass revelation. I'm telling you, you better prepare. Everyone has better prepared for mass revelation. We'll have to prepare for mass revelation. I was going to ready that one day we're going to hear the voice. We're going to hear the voice in our heads. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I am the Lord your God. We're going to say, Moshe, stop him. Stop him. We can't take this anymore. That's what happened. Moshe, we can't take anymore. They says the Jews only heard two mitzvot, and they said, that's enough, we can't take anymore. Moshe, we believe you now, we believe you now, Moshe. Moshe, you take over. We believe you. We can't take this. So anyway, so that's number one, is belief in God. This is one of the three things that he said, he taught the police. You have to tap into your faith in God. How do people survive the Holocaust? They tapped into their faith in God. There's a God. Either they tapped in, or they broke off. Two reactions completely. So one of the ways of dealing with troubles is tap into Hashem. Hashem has unlimited energy. Unlimited. If you tap into the energy of Hashem, unlimited. Number two, Rav Tzadok HaKohen adds a secondary aspect, which he talked about to the police. Look at that, amazing. This, right here. A Jew must have faith in himself. The person's got to know, I have the capabilities. Hashem gave me a tremendous capability. The trouble is we always knock ourselves. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. Until a person pushes themselves really hard, you never know what you can do. How do the athletes know how fast they can run? How do the athletes know how fast they can swim? They swim as far, they run as fast as they can, and who knows how fast they can run. There's a story just recently in the marathon, New York City in marathon. There was an Israeli soldier who was very badly wounded. Very, very badly. We were praying for him after the Gaza war. And he survived and he ran the marathon. Amazing. And he said he never did. He never imagined he could do it so fast. It's a miracle. So a person only knows what they can do when they're under pressure, unfortunately. So that's why we need to be under pressure. Why did God test Abraham? For his sake, to know how high he could grow. Abraham Avinu grew to a high level of spirituality. One of the highest levels he could attain because he pushed himself, because Hashem pushed him a little bit. Hashem pushes us as well. So all the troubles we witness, all the trials, all our lives, they're all tests to push us to achieve more. Why do they test kids in school? So a lot of people think to make them fail. No, wrong. They don't test kids to fail. They test kids to see how much they can do, how high they can grow. That's the idea. The idea, same thing in life. Hashem tests us to give us trials, to hopefully make our emunah grow. Because everything that knocks us, every time we get knocked, it's an opportunity for growth. Make the emunah grow, to pray harder. And that's why all the great women in the Torah are all barren. They couldn't have children. Why couldn't they have children? Because Hashem loves the prayers of the righteous. What does that mean? That means through the prayers of the righteous, they grow in the emunah of Hashem. They grow in the connection to God. The more we pray, the more we connect. The less we pray, the less we connect. If you love your children, what would you want? What's the highest level you want them to do? And the answer is you want them to connect with you. If you love your children. There's two ways to look at it. One way to look at it is, oh, I love my children. Let them get out of the house and go and live their lives. That's important. But then they lose the connection to me, and that's not good. Some parent always wants connection. Hashem always wants that connection. If Hashem gave us everything we need, we wouldn't connect with him at all. So a person has wealth, health, that. Vayishman yeshurun vayivat, the Torah says. In the end, Moshe Rabbeinu is predicting. He says, the Jews will get fat and they'll kick Hashem. We don't need it anymore. We have the land, we have the produce, we have this, we have that. Thank God. They didn't even say thank God. They should have said thank God. That's it. A person forgets where it came from. But when they need something, Hashem, where are you? Where were you? Why didn't you help me? But where were you when you had everything? You know, the joke is there's three departments in heaven, right? So a guy goes to heaven for a tour. The angel takes him around. He says, yeah, he sees over here, there's a big warehouse. It's very busy. The angels are working really hard. So what is this? He said, this is the reception area. We receive all the prayers. And he goes to the second warehouse. Very busy, very busy. People packaging and this and that, sending things. So what's going on? This is the, we're sending now all the blessings down to earth. People prayed, and now they get their blessings. And then there's the third area, which is empty. There's one angel over there, bored stiff. So what is this area? This is the area for thanks. No one's thanking. So people pray, people get, or people forget to thank. And that's important not to forget to thank. We must not forget to thank. And that's why all our prayers end off with Hoda'a. Modim anachnu lach. We thank you, Hashem. The first word out of our mouth when we wake up is Modeh ani levanecha. Modeh, thank you, Hashem. Thank you. Don't forget to thank. So thank God, we're very lucky. We are very fortunate. We are one of the most fortunate generations in Jewish history. We don't really realize we are one of the most fortunate generations in human history. We're seeing so many people learning Torah. We have Israel. We're so lucky. We just,
even with all the internet,
with all the disasters around us, we are the luckiest generation in the world. It's so easy to be a Jew. It's never been so easy. You can walk in the streets and you're not being beaten down. You're spat at. I mean, it's amazing. We've never seen this before. For 2,000 years, we've never had it so good. Thank God, a million times. Baruch Hashem, a million times. And we're living in a land of where the police respect us and they protect us. Where do you see that in Jewish history? Usually the police were the first ones to attack us. So that's, we owe a debt, gratitude. That's what we were talking about last night, the debt of gratitude. He asked his Rosh Hashiva, should he help the police? Say, we owe a debt of gratitude to the police. We owe a debt of gratitude to America. We have to help them. Sure, we have to help them. So we never had it so good. So we have to thank Hashem a million times. That's why it's good to praise Hashem. They asked Rav Vadia, do you say Halel on Yom Ha'atzmaut? He said, if you don't thank Hashem for what you have, Hashem will not give you any more. You better thank Hashem. It's very important to thank Hashem. We have to praise Hashem. We have to thank Hashem a million times for what we have today.
Rabbi,
yes?
I got an email from my brother saying that they opened up the shul in Germany. They redid it.
I don't know if that's a good idea, but yeah, there you go again. We're back to Galut again. So it's a Galut system, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Germany is the fastest growing Jewish community outside Israel. Yeah. All the Russians are moving to Germany because they get help from the German government. Interesting. But that's a cycle. It's going to be a cycle. In Galut is a cycle. We have to build up Israel. We have the opportunity now. Let's go and settle the land while we have a chance. We have the land before they give it away. Now's the time to go and settle it. Thank God a lot of people have done it. And we have to follow their example. Now, it's our land that God gave us. And we are still in the test of Abraham, the first test, Lech Lecha. Are we going to listen to the Lech Lecha or are we going to ignore the Lech Lecha? That's the first test, the first question. Lech Lecha. First thing Hashem said to Abraham. Lech Lecha. So are we hearing the message, Lech Lecha? So that's the question. Do we see what Hashem wants from us? Hashem is sending us signals. Do we see? Through history, Hashem talks to us. When a person learns history, it's not just history, it's Hashem talking to us. We have to hear that. That's the difference between learning history and learning history. You can learn history as a cold topic. You can learn the Torah as a history book. You go to college, learn the Torah as a history book. Or you can learn the Torah as a moral guide. There's a big debate between Rashi and Ramban. Is there's chronology in the Torah? Yesh mukdam mucha b'Torah, eh mukdam mucha. So one is saying that it doesn't make a difference whether the chronology or not. It's not the main thing. It's not the history book. The main thing is the moral message. And the other one says, no, I agree there's a moral message, but it's also historically correct. It's also chronologically correct. But everyone agrees the main purpose of the Torah is not the chronology or the history. The main purpose of the Torah is the message, the moral message behind the history. And then what is the moral message of the Torah? You know, the guy talked yesterday, Rabbi Friedman, he wrote a book called Lessons from the Bat Cave. Jewish lessons, moral lessons that come out of the story of Batman. You know, Batman was invented by a Jew, this Jewish kid. Who witnessed anti-Semitism, so he came on this vision. I think Superman, it was Superman who was invented by a Jew. Mm-hmm. I mean Batman as well, I'm not sure. But anyway, so the story goes, Rabbi Victor Miller, on Simchat Torah. So the Gabbai says, instead of giving out candies, let me give out the magazines. So he started giving out these Batman and Superman comics to the kids. And of course, someone protested, how can you do this? From a shul, where you're giving out Batman, Superman. So the guy went to Rav Victor Miller and he complained. He says, look what they're doing here in the middle of your shul. This is your shul. They're giving out Batman and Superman. He says, what are they? What is Batman and Superman? Never heard of it. Pass me a comic. So he takes home the comics and he reads them. He said, it's good. So why is it good? He says, because good wins over evil. And that's what Judaism is all about. Judaism is all about, we have to fix this world. How do we fix this world? Good has to triumph over evil. The forces of good have to triumph over evil. Hashem will win in the end. And that's the truth. Hashem will win in the end. Good will triumph over evil. We're going to see it. That's our faith. Now you have questions. Eventually good will triumph over evil. It says, in that day, Hashem will destroy the Yetzirah. No more Yetzirah. No more evil in the world. Be no more evil. And there'll be no more death. No evil, no death. Very simple. No more death. So that's number one. Number two is faith in ourselves. A secondary aspect of Habakkuk's principle is that a Jew must have faith in themselves. In one's own ability to serve God perfectly. Whoa, that's hard. Because it says, you know, I have 613 trillion mitzvot. That's what he said last night. 613 trillion mitzvot. How can I serve God? How can I do this? And the answer is, a person has to have faith in themselves. Hashem does not give us a test that we cannot pass. That's part of our philosophy. Part of Jewish philosophy is, if Hashem gave you a test, it's something you can do. Hashem does not give us a test to trip us up. Hashem does not put trials in our way that can trip us up, although there are always trials in the way that can trip a person up. Ideally, we should be able to pass them. Hashem gives us a test. We have to be able to overcome. We have to find that strength to be able to overcome the test. And that's why good friends are very important. Because good friends help us to overcome the test. That's why it's very important to visit the sick. Because the visiting the sick man's going through a test. Going through a test of emunah, survival, his depression. He's going through a test. And we are going to help him to pass that test. A person lost a relative. Nechum avelim, it's a big mitzvah to go and help the person pass that test of emunah. To overcome the troubles in life. That's the purpose of friends. That's what friends are for. You know, the book of Job is so tragic. One of the tragedies of the book of Job is the friends that go to Job and told him, you deserve all the troubles. So with friends like you, I don't need enemies, you know. It's friends like that. That's not the purpose of the whole purpose. The whole purpose of Nichum HaVeleim is to go and tell the person, you're going to get through this. You'll survive. Things will get better. You have a life outside this. And help the person carry on. So that's what good friends are for. Friends are to help each other overcome these tests. Sometimes we can't pass the test by ourselves. We need a friend. We find this even with Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu gets the message to do Brit Milah. Brit Milah was one of the 10 trials of Avraham. Avraham Avinu did not want to do Brit Milah. Why? Because otherwise he felt he couldn't talk to the world anymore. If he was so different from them, that his way of communicating with them would be lost. No one was going to listen to him anymore. He was a big missionary. The whole world was listening to him. He had tremendous influence on other people. Thousands and thousands of people. If he does Brit Milah now, they say he's cuckoo, he's wacko. This guy's Brit Milah, he's different now. No one's going to listen to him. So what does he do? He asks his three friends. Anir, Mamre, and Eshkol. Right? That's what Midrashi says. That's why it says, Hashem appeared to him amongst the trees of Belone Mamre. Amongst the trees of Mamre. Who is Mamre? Mamre was one of his friends who said, go ahead. It's not going to be a difference. Yeah, Brit Milah, we're going to help you. Don't worry. We're still going to be with you. You're not going to lose us by doing your Brit Milah. So we need comfort from our friends to help overcome the troubles. So, but a person has to have faith in themselves. Suppose we have to have faith in ourselves. We can do it. We can do it. The Little Engine That Could, one of my favorite books. It's interesting because there's no author. We don't know who the author is, and it's been written that many times, and many people making money out of it till today. There's no copyrights. No one knows who the author is. It's a fantastic book. Little Engine That Could. We can do it. We can do it. We can do it. A little bit a day, a little bit a day, a little bit a day, we can do it. We can be good Jews. A little bit a day. We need to boost ourselves. We need to self-improve. We need to try and grow. We've got to learn Torah every day. Even if the police are learning Torah every day by reading this book, we can learn Torah every day. Amazing. Amazing.
When you tell women that they need to learn Torah, where do they start?
Yeah, right here. Sunday morning, 10 o'clock. What is the main part of the Torah? Number one, Musar. But number two is to know what to do. Halakha. Halakha, Musar. Those are two areas every Jew has to focus on. You know, it says in Ezra, the great rabbis are having a meeting. Chavetz Chaim, Rav Ozer, Rav Chaim Ozer, Grzinski, the head of the Slobodka Yeshiva, Sarna, And Rav Sana said, you know, we owe a great debt to someone who never learned a page of Gemara in her in the life. A gadol b'Torah who never learned a page of Gemara in her life. Who is that? Sarah Schneer. She saved Judaism today. So we have to realize what's going on, that in those days there's a tremendous revolution. Women started learning Torah. Women need to learn Torah. The question is how much Torah, what they learn. Okay, it doesn't matter, as long as they do it l'shem shemaim. If they do it for feministic reasons, okay. But you know what? Mitoch shelo l'shema ba l'shema as well. You can't knock anything. You can't knock anything. Mitoch shelo l'shema ba l'shema. But the main thing is to do it with a pure motive, you know. I want to learn Torah because I want to grow, I want to get closer to Hashem. That should be the main reason of learning. But you know what? Mitoch shelo l'shema ba l'shema. Eventually a person will get it through learning Torah. It will purify the person, hopefully. The Rambam says, before you teach a person Torah, you have to examine if they're good people or not. You're not allowed to teach an evil person Torah. Interesting. First you have to make them good, and then teach them Torah. So first the person has to do teshuva before they learn Torah. I mean, before we learn Torah, every day we have to do teshuva. The Vilna Gaon says the Torah is like water, compared to water. So he says if there's weeds inside us, the Torah will make the weeds grow bigger. The person's already a crook. And he's learning Torah, so he learned to be a bigger crook. So we have to improve ourselves on the inside as well, not just... Learning Torah is not going to change us completely. But it helps. If we are motivated, we have the little bit of motivation inside to change and to be better, the Torah will help us. So, but we need to change ourselves a little bit before we learn Torah. Anyway, the Torah is very important. Someone says, where do you need to start? Start with Emunah. Emunah is the key. Emunah is the key. As Habakkuk says, the righteous person shall live through the Emunah. Emunah is the key. And Emunah will enable the person to do more mitzvot. So there's two aspects. One aspect is learning belief, and the other aspect is actual doing. So do a mitzvah. Just start off with a small mitzvah. Put some money in the pushka. What's the smallest mitzvah you can do? Take 25 cents out of your pocket and put it into the pushka. Says mitzvah, gorer mitzvah. One mitzvah will lead to another mitzvah. So eventually a person will do more mitzvah, other things. You know, we have to realize how easy it is to do a mitzvah. We said it before. We said just go to sleep. You go to sleep, you're doing 365 negative mitzvot right there. Depends who you sleep with, but usually, hopefully, you're sleeping properly. 365 negative mitzvot. I didn't do anything, Hashem. Look, I'm one whole day, 12 hours I spent in bed, I didn't do any avirot. Baruch Hashem. 365 credits on your bank account. Boom, 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 boom. So easy to be a Jew. And then you get up and you do Modei Ani, so that's already what? I said, that's a big mitzvah already. Wash my hands. Another mitzvah, another mitzvah, another mitzvah. Adds up. Exactly. Which way you tie your shoes, get another mitzvah. It adds up. Okay. So, he talked about two out of the three things he talked about last night. It's interesting. Two out of the three things. Number one is faith in God. Number two is faith in oneself. Number three is faith in other people. That humanity will improve eventually. We believe it. And they Hashem will be one. What do you mean Hashem will be one? All human beings, all humanity will recognize the unity of God. So we have to transform. That's over here, right here. Yeah. We're on page 33 towards the end. The Torah gives us 613 commandments. As the Vilna Gaon taught, there are a myriad ways to serve God every moment of the day. It's not just 613 ways. There are tons and tons of ways because we didn't talk about the Midot. Person who smiles at someone did a mitzvah. It's part of after Reach Gamor. Smile at someone. It's an unending pursuit of perfection. We have an opportunity for unending pursuit of perfection. It's important. It's impossible to be perfect. By definition. Only Hashem is perfect. It's impossible for a human being to be perfect. Because we're born imperfect and we have to try. It's an unending pursuit. Even the greats. As generations grew weaker, the prophets found ways to make people worthy of attachment to the divine. The goal was the same, to transform a human being into a receptacle of spirituality. To transform ourselves, that's faith in human beings. We can transform ourselves. So faith in God, faith in ourselves, and faith in mankind. Those are three areas of building spirituality in a person. Okay, let's just start introducing this topic today. We haven't even got there, we're just in the overview. We're going to go to another introduction. Oh boy. Okay. Is the topic of the six constant mitzvot. Now, who came along with this idea of six constant mitzvot? And the answer is, it's a book called, a very important book called Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch was written by an unknown author. Again, name unknown. He kept his name out of the book. We think it was Rabbeinu Bachaye, one of his brothers. Now, that's what they think. Now, the reason why a person would write a book with no name, there's two reasons. Number one reason is because the person is very humble. And number two reasons could be he doesn't want to be attacked. Because when you write a book, you leave yourself open to being attacked by people who don't like what you wrote. Criticism. So, but this is a very fundamental book. Everyone should have this in their house. If you don't have this in your house, you're not living as a Jew properly. Mm-hmm. You should have this book in your house. What it does is it goes through all the mitzvot in the Torah according to the parasha of the week. And you should go take it out every Shabbat on your table and learn the mitzvot of the week. It's very important, very good. What mitzvot are in the parasha of the week? And you can discuss it with your kids and go through it. And it's living as a Jew. That's how a Jew should live. That's what we should discuss on Shabbat. It's a book of education. I have it right here. Where is it? You can see it. Grab a hold. It's a few volumes right there. 5 volumes. Here it is. Sefer HaChinuch. It's actually 5 volumes. This set is big. I'm sure you can get smaller sets. I'm going to leave it over here so people can look at it afterwards. Sefer HaChinuch.
Yeah, but is it, how do you look it up if there's no author?
The Book of Education. It's called Sefer HaChinuch. The Book of Education. There is no author. I told you, there's no author.
Words, farm sales coming
wrote it.
Soon.
Wrote it. Unnamed sources.
Wow.
He says, evidently by Rabbi Pinchas Halevi of Barcelona. We don't know. This is just surmising. Rabbi Pinchas Halevi of Barcelona. We don't know. But what he says in the introduction is, he said, I wrote this book for the teenagers who don't have anything to do on Shabbat. They play around. So this is,
Is it in English or Hebrew?
English and Hebrew.
Oh,
by Feldheim.
When was it published? How old is the book?
It's at least 30, 40 years old. But the original is from Barcelona, 1100s, 1200s. It's very old. So it's a good book to have and discuss over the table. And anyway, in his introduction, he comes along with this concept of six constant mitzvot. He's the one who came along with this six constant mitzvot. Started with him. He's the one who quotes the six constant mitzvot. And then the Mishnah Berurah, hopefully we'll go through it maybe next week. The Mishnah Berurah, Rav Chavetz Chaim, when he wrote his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, called the Mishnah Berurah, in his first section, quotes these six constant mitzvot. When the Mishnah Berurah talks about getting up in the morning, he brings down over there this idea of six constant mitzvot a Jew should have in their heads. So this is the Mishnah Berurah, Chavetz Chaim, writing down the importance of this idea of six constant mitzvot. And hopefully we'll go more into details next week. So if anyone asks you, what should we do, be learning? And the answer is, come 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
We'll see you next week.
Thank you. Thank you.